Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my special guest today is Daniel A. Bella, the program director for the Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Film Festival, as well as the New York Sci-Fi Film Festival. Welcome back to the show, Daniel.
Thanks, Summer. Good to have you back.
You've been busy this past year because there was the New York Science Fiction Film Festival that happened in January. And you also last fall had a European PKD Film Festival.
Yes, it seems like we're going from festival to festival these days.
So how did the European Film Festival pop up?
Well, generally the festivals in Europe come up from filmmakers who participated in the New York Festival, and they know people in their cities, and they we reached out to them and said they knew the venue or venues. I'm more than happy would be willing to promote the festival over there. And so the first festival in France, that's how it came about. I think it was the year 2012 when we had a film there in New York City. And then I reached out to the filmmaker and he suggested this location in the north of Paris. And that turned out to be a really good, people like it. So we've been going there regularly for the last 4 years. Just recently we did the same with the location in Germany. The filmmaker had applied to New York, and I spoke to him. And we're actually, this year, we're going to be doing a location in Germany as well.
Awesome. Now, this year's PKD Film Festival, also in New York, is your fifth go-round. So congratulations on
that. That's right.
On that.
Thanks. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, in addition,
very excited about this festival. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. No. In addition to the to your regular lineup of Philip K. Dick inspired science fiction and fantasy films, you're launching a series of talks about filmmakers and scientists who are working with themes that are commonly found in PKD's fiction. What inspired starting that up?
Well, I mean, I used to watch TED many years ago, mm-hmm. TED Talks, and in the beginning they were very cutting edge. Now, over the last few years, they've become very commonplace, very corporate, very kind of almost dull, so to speak. So I felt this is an opportunity to really pick up on themes that usually would not be picked up by TED. You know, the idea is talking and interviewing cutting edge scientists who are working on really unusual projects. And this idea has been kind of a mulling in the back of my head for some time. And I thought this would be year five would be a good time to, to jumpstart it. Celebrities that we have are very unusual this year. And I thought, well, this is the perfect year to get the ball rolling on this.
Awesome. Yeah, it looks very, very intriguing. The series, for those listening, is called PKD Talks, Conversations with Luminaries, Visionaries, and Mavericks. And you have, I'm going to list the guests here, industry professionals, author and physicist Dr. Ronald Mallett, directors Marianne Bullum Knight and Carolyn Corey, web host Joe Cerletti, astrophysicist Rudy Schild, computer scientist Jacques Vallée, amongst others. Now, I think you had Dr. Mallett had a film a couple of years ago, and is that why he's coming back?
Yes. Dr. Mallett had his How to Build a Time Machine.
Right.
The director whose lives were impacted by reading of H.G. Wells' Time Machine. So in the case of Dr. Mallett, we thought this would be a good time to basically bring him back, and he could share with the audience, any new developments on his dream of building a signal generator that can send the signals back in time. I had him in year 2012, part of a panel, and since then he's gone on to get some funding And he's traveling all over the world and giving talks, and very excited to hear what he has to say about our his time travel system.
Now, who's how was the talks set up? Like, who was, what was your criteria for picking the speakers?
Well, generally, at the Philip K. Dick Festival, we want to present is a special space that is neither science fiction or science. So, like, the intersection of the two, a penumbra-style environment where ideas germinate. So, generally, my criteria is to find people who are... whose works are being already shown in a documentary format, and we talk to them about possibly coming in as doing either a Q&A or a panel. But generally, these are those who are exploring very much bleeding edge technologies or cutting edge research. For instance, in the case of Life Gone Wild, this is basically a short documentary, the life of Ingo Swann, who back in the 70s was literally the first remote viewer.
Mm-hmm.
His exceptional skills attracted the attention of the Army. And eventually that became became part of the Army's psychic spy program, Stargate. Ingo is someone who was born in Colorado, and then he relocated to New York, where he spent most of his life. Man of exceptional skills, amazing. And I found it by accident that he knew Philip K. Dick. I didn't know that. But so when I spoke to the director, Mary Ann, she says, yes, he did know. He had a Philip K. Dick was a good friend of his. So we thought this would be a great opportunity to talk about it. And so the featured panelists were friends and associates of Ingo Swann. And they themselves have contributed to this field of remote viewing. And amongst other developments.
And one of the other talks involves, I guess, First Contact?
First Contact, yes. Carolyn Corey, yes. She, I've always been intrigued by the whole UFO phenomenon. I treat it from a phenomenological perspective. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not quite ready to commit that these are ETs. But I do think something is happening to enough people to warrant a serious investigation. Now, generally, when we bring up UFOs, most people will chuckle and change the subject. You know, there's been a social quite a bit. And I think there is a cultural bias against that. But the truth is, millions of people have seen UFOs, and many of them don't want to openly talk about it. Be of ridicule and being regarded as mentally ill or whatever, but I do think it needs to be really seriously studied. And so Carolyn sent me her documentary, took a look at it, and she's got some scientists that are backing her research. Amongst them, one of them is Rudy Child. He's a good friend of John Mack. John Mack, for those who might not remember, he was one of the pioneers in abduction phenomena. He's a Harvard-trained psychiatrist. Now, Rudy is a Harvard-trained astrophysicist, and he's also a professor there, but he also feels that the UFO phenomenon needs to be explored. We're going to have him, as well as Carolyn, as well as several experiencers claim that they've been visited. So it should be a very interesting panel.
Yeah, I wish I was there to see it, because I'm also in the, I don't know what's going on, the jury's still out, but all of these people cannot have imagined all of this over the decades.
No, absolutely not. I think there's a lot of, there are definitely some very serious researchers out there that are, serious on what's going on. And I think that this definitely requires a lot more investigation. And it could very well be at the heart of what constitutes a lot of the world religions and mythologies. It may be a realm that is neither real nor fantasy, where creativity, where world phenomena germinates. And Jacques Vallée, for instance, who is a one of the panelists on remote viewing, but he also studied ufology for many years. Believes that whatever's going on, it will have to will probably challenge our concepts of what time and space mean. And basically, more like instead of being a world where time and space dominates, it's a world where we live in a world of data, information. Very much what Philip K. Dick talked about, Vallis. He referred to Vallis back in 1974 as a vast, active, living information system. Data, basically, but living data. Mm-hmm. Very similar to the Matrix. So you see how all these things are connected. So we all basically seem to be pointing in the same direction. So I think there are a lot of potential ramifications from studying this whole UFO experience.
Interesting. Well, I hope someone will attend and give us a follow-up on that talk, because it sounds very intriguing. But for the entertainment portion, that you have a very, very diverse and intriguing lineup of shorts and features. I mean, the number of shorts you're presenting this year, what the festival runs over 5 days, May 25th through 30th?
That's right.
The number of shorts you're presenting is fantastic. I don't think I'd be able to contain myself.
It is quite a it's quite a good number of shorts. And you know, I think that what makes this year's festival is attracting a lot more of an international selection. So we got shorts from all over the world. We had them from the north of Finland to all the way to the South America, to Argentina. We had them from Asia, China, Japan, Singapore. We had them from South Africa. We had them from Europe, from Canada, the U.S., Mexico. So I think we have a really nice coverage.
Yeah, I see.
What I find interesting is they all kind of share the same themes, the same concerns. I think that within sci-fi, you'll have a more of a universal vision of where mankind is heading. And so apart from our own, each one of us has our own cultural and economic differences, I think we all are very much in line when it comes to the vision that sci-fi is projecting of the future.
Yeah, I see a lot of entries here from the UK, Australia, Spain, New Zealand, Singapore, Sweden, mm-hmm. Norway, that it, literally the entire world is, shall we say, flexing their dystopian sci-fi muscle.
Yeah, well, you know, sci-fi, I think the sci-fi, what makes the sci-fi usual is that it's not pure fantasy, but it's actually often a reflection of where technology, how technology is shaping us. Or will shape us over years to come. So, for instance, there might be a few stories dealing with how technology is changing the way we meet each other. How people date, how people organize their whole personal life, how technology is going to impact their jobs, their future. So it's sort of a real time scenario what's to come, rather than something set, let's say, 10,000 years in the future. No, it said more like 20 years in the future. That makes it, it can be almost it's almost like a thought experiment. Well, what happens if we take the current trends, let's say, that taking place where we sort all our information through our personal phone? What happens if you take it one step further? How is that going to impact us personally? So that's what this is. It's almost not even sci-fi. It's almost like science. Narrative finds it has elements that stay within the realistic, within realistic possibilities, and it's coming from different countries,
Cool.
Very excited about the selection of films we have this year. They're truly are very sobering, very much concerned about the where we're heading, And I thought, whether we're losing our humanity. So the theme of this year's theme is basically transcendence or extinction. Mm. Those are the themes of this year's festival. I mean, we basically are at crossroads. On the one hand, you have a world that becomes progressively more fragmented with information and counter-information and no real sense of direction. Everybody atomized. But on the other hand, we have a world that the possibility of reaching true unity and transcendence. So the kind of films that were programmed sort of follow that pattern, you know? Many of them are very uplifting. It's a note of hope and possibility where humanity, no matter what is thrown at it, will prevail. But others are not so positive. And I do believe that unless we, you know, take action now, we'll definitely be heading into a dark new world. So it's that's why we look at the website as the red pill and the blue pill. It's almost like at this point we're being offered a choice. We're at a crossroads.
Yeah.
I think everybody got a sense is that you don't have to even be a sci-fi fan to understand that we have some hard choices to make in the years to come. For instance, we got a documentary on the narrated by Neil Gaiman. This is called 16 Legs. It focuses on Tasmania and probably one of the last few habitats in the world with very rich biodiversity. You know, contrast that to what's happening to the rest of the world. So it's very sobering. I think more than ever, Philip K. Dick's vision or concern is coming through. That's why he's probably more popular now than even 20 years ago.
Yeah. Now, if someone were attending the festival this year, do you have two or three films, features, or shorts that you say, hey, if your time is limited, these are the ones you have to go see right now?
Okay, well, that's going to be a tough one. Okay, I would say that one that really, very simple short, but I think it's worth watching. It was in Japan, it's called Sociopaths. Not really going into detail about it, but it has to do with not the sociopaths in the way, in our definition, what it means, but something very different has to do with technology. I would say that's a really great short. In terms of horror or alien, there are two of them. They're competing. One of them is The Plan. The French director called The Plan. And the other one is Hum, H-U-M, made in South Africa.
Nice.
What others would be really are very. They also make so many of them are great. It's like there's so many you can't really decide which one to go for. But on Sunday night, I certainly would think if it's documentary. I would say A Life Gone Wild. It's almost like a short documentary. It's worth exploring because truly. Connects you back to that period when there was more exploration of the spirit, of the mind, not so much of computers. Dealing with Ingo Swann and that group of people. What else? Synchronous. It's from Spain. No, it's actually it's from Colombia. It's actually going to be played at the Cervantes Institute. It's another. I would say these are like some of the main highlights, but I think any lock that you choose, you better be entertained. We have a nice programming committee. We really went over these films. I think all of them are very, very strong. If you're interested in doing the block on Philip K. Dick, it's great. I mean, that's sort of like Philip K. Dick inspired themes, shorts. That's also on Saturday, so. These are some of the ones I think that, you know, come to mind.
Okay. So what do you have planned for upcoming festivals this year and for next year? What do you see any expansion or any other different kind of themes to cover?
I think I definitely want to expand the PKD talks. I think it's something that's very engaging, very interactive. We right now organizing the fourth Philippe Dick European Film Festival. It's going to take place in Lille, France, the third week in October, and in Cologne, Germany, first week in November. But I'll say this is the direction. We're just going to keep it, you know, within the next year or so, keep it to 3 days, have a lot of really good films over documentaries. I think for documentaries that feature some cutting edge work are very interesting. We always get a lot of a nice response, so we might focus more on that. I think it's pretty much to the filmmakers. We really work with what we get, and we develop the theme around that concept.
Cool. Have you considered having a PKD Talks panel on Amazon's Man in the High Castle series about how it's made, how well it's being received by fans?
Oh, no, we actually haven't. We did have a PKD talk on, well, a talk a year and a half ago on the Man in the High Castle and similarities between the current, at that time, the presidential election was in what's happening there. But no, that might very well be a good subject for a talk, you know? I'm not sure if Amazon is going to do season 3 on The Man in the High Castle. I think the fans love it. I think sci-fi, you see here is a clear kind of foreshadowing that's taking place. There is kind of a fascination with this alternative history. Mm-hmm. And I think it reflects our own concerns of what's happening in our own world and what constitutes reality. So it was no accident that it became a very popular show. If you contrast that to, say, Fatherland, which was, it came out in the mid-90s, and it was actually played by Rutger Hauer.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
History, miniseries. It didn't do that. It did okay. Not that well, whereas Man of the High Castle did absolutely loved by people. So, an indication of where we're heading, and where, at least the times we live in.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you may have something there about how the residences in Man in the High Castle to what we're living in today are a lot closer than maybe what when Rutger Hauer's movie came out.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing I want to mention though is one thing we should walk away when we study and read Philip K. Dick is that he is a person who refused to become a fundamentalist in any one position. He was always a skeptic. Even when he experienced a kind of a strange pink beam hitting him on the forehead, knocking him down. His whole life, he always questioned what the nature of that experience was. So he remained a skeptic at the end, while embracing multiple reality tunnels does not follow anyone specifically. That's something that we really need to be aware of today, because the threat of fundamentalism from the left and the right, from religious and secular, is very powerful, very seductive at the same time. It really, like Jacques Vallée, who refused to embrace any one definition of what it means to be, what does the UFO concept mean? We need to go in with an open mind and be willing to look at the phenomena and, you know, arrive at some sort of conclusion without necessarily having to believe in it. So I think that's very important. And I think that's what a lot of these films, you know, kind of suggest. Even at the Man in the High Castle, the idea there's a film there that might, the gateway to a parallel universe is interesting, maybe. You know, it's a kind of a sign that there's always a way out, no matter how oppressive things are. There's a, you know, where to look. There might be a way out of the boundary. So, again, it has a kind of an optimism, even though it's a very dark series. I think there is a ray of light. I don't know where to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
And follow that.
Yeah, it's about even if things appear unsolvable, there's always hope because we're alive. We can still make changes.
Right, right. I mean, the key is to know where to look for those solutions rather than, well, a lot of people just remain optimistic in a kind of a blind way. You've got to be optimistic, but with calculating that optimism, find where can I find that? Where can I see that breakthrough? You know, and that's the key. I mean, what we're trying to do with this festival is create an atmosphere of openness where people can explore and not only be entertained by great films, but not only be also entertained by the virtual reality installations, but also to be challenged by the panels and also with others who believe and think along the same lines, who are going there to really have a good time. We're trying to build a community more than anything. It's kind of more than just showing films, cool sci-fi films. A place where people feel really comfortable. I mean, at the end of the day, that's how we're going to win over the machines. You know? Yeah. You know?
Yep.
You've got to have qualities which machines cannot duplicate. And I think it was a French philosopher that talked about that. I think one of them is passion. Passion. There are other qualities. So that's what we have to go for. In that sense. That's how we remain human in a world that's challenging every step of the way. You know? Phil Kiddick would have been very happy with this festival. I think that he would have been really pleased with what, you know, how weird kind of subject matters we're tackling.
I'm still, it amuses me. We have to make ourselves useful to the machines so they'll keep us around.
Yeah, you got to ask yourself, well, look, you know, it's like we are the ones who are in charge of deciding how far we're going to empower these machines. It's interesting whenever you listen to a talk on AI, and will AI take over? Well, guess what? Who's creating AI? It's not coming from, it's not the aliens, not ETs. We have to basically check ourselves or control ourselves, not giving too much power to the AI or to automation or whatever. We don't have anyone else but ourselves to blame if one day AI starts displacing millions of jobs, and we are the masters as well. You know, except that there's a lot of people just want to be slaves and don't want to be masters. So you got to be in charge of what's going on and set limits as to how far you're going to let AI decide the future of humanity. That's really pretty much it. I think we're trying to trying to get some of those answers. Sometimes the answers come in books on films, and that's, I guess, part of what we're trying to go for, to shoot for.
Excellent. Well, the Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Film Festival's 5th annual event will be in New York City from May 25th through 30th. We'll have details on the website, and the full schedule is on their website, which is www.thephilipkdickfilmfestival.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Philip K. Dick Fest. Again, Daniel, thank you for your time today.
Well, thanks again, Summer, for having me here. And hopefully one of these days we'll see each other at the festival. One of the festivals.
One of the festivals. I would be more than happy to drop by New York one of these days, especially since now you've moved the festival to May. I could live with that.
You can live with it. Okay. That's good. And one day we might do it in the West Coast, you know.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
We've been thinking about maybe one day in the future. You know, Philip K. Dick was from, originally from San Francisco, and then, he lived in San Francisco and then lived in Orange County. So we might do it either one of those locations. That'd be interesting. Who knows? Maybe next year.
Cool. Well, keep me up to date on that.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again for your help, and I hope to see you in back then.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Hi, this is Kyle Harris from Freeform Stitchers, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
I really do hope that they bring the Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Film Festival to the West Coast, because I would love nothing more than to attend that festival. One of these years, I will actually attend San Diego Comic-Con, hopefully, maybe. There's even a possibility this year that I'll attend Shriek Fest. We're a sponsor of Shriek Fest last year. We're going to do it again this year. Connected with the science fiction track, so that'll be a lot of fun. We'll see what happens. We shall see, we shall see. We do have some more interviews coming up with independent filmmakers, sci-fi and horror, and hoping to add a lot of more comics writers, comics creators to the upcoming show over at Writers After Dark, so stay tuned there. I also hope to have a discussion episode coming up. Got a lot of really, really high-profile independent features coming up, both horror and science fiction. Get some discussions going along that line. Speaking of horror, Get Out will be coming out soon. It's on Blu-ray. I'm going to go check it out because I do want to see the alternate ending and the extended scenes, deleted scenes. If you have a chance, keep an eye out on AMC, the Talking with Chris Hardwick. The recent episode featured Jordan Peele, where they talked about Get Out and some of his plans for upcoming social horror movies. And I need to check out the podcast because they talk a lot longer than that 1 hour in the podcast for that episode. So I'm going to check it out. And if you enjoyed Get Out as much as I did, you might enjoy this discussion. But that'll do it for this episode. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. I do try to answer your questions as promptly as possible. Things are a little bit, like I said, still up in the air, but I will respond as soon as I could. Twitter is also a good place to hit me up, @SliceOfSciFi. You can also check us out on YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over there, and on Google+, Slice of Sci-Fi. And yes, the Facebook page is active again, facebook.com/SliceOfSciFi. If you listen to the show through iTunes, leave us a review. If you listen to the show through Stitcher, leave us a review there. You can also catch us on TuneIn and on Krypton Radio. That's kryptonradio.com. We thank them for providing yet another alternative outlet to let more people listen to Slice of Sci-Fi. And as always, we have the websites, sliceofscifi.com, writersafterdark.com, popculturegeeks.com. I'd really like to send my heartfelt thanks out to everyone who's donations and pledges through Patreon keep us online. Your support is welcome. Thank you very much. If you want to check out the Patreon page, it's over at patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Over the next few weeks, there will be some changes coming to the perks and levels to reflect the new edition of Writers After Dark as an actual full fledged podcast, and synchronizing things between Writers After Dark and Slice of Sci-Fi, which is staying right here, so I can get my sci-fi and my horror geek on. I'd like to also send out a heartfelt thanks to the geek rock band Sci-Fried for providing the music that adorns this show. If you want to check out more by them, their website is sci-fried.com. That's it for now. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi soon. Take care.